Welcome back to the Inside Flicks podcast. This episode, we are reviewing Bone Tomahawk.
There's a situation. Serious.
Mrs. O'Dwyer was abducted. We're making a 5-day journey in 3 days, riding along and sleeping the bare minimum. If our horses die before we get there, or we go into hostile territory, weak and foggy with exhaustion, we won't rescue anybody.
Damn you! If you want to question my morals, do it later.
The ambush!
Okay, that was a clip from 2015's Bone Tomahawk. Another one of our picks for the month of October, and a perfect pick for the Halloween season. I'm Rich, and I'm here with my two brothers, Mike and Raymond. Say hello.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? Raymond, how's it going?
Oh hello.
All right, Mike, tell us a little bit about this movie.
This is in the same year that Kurt Russell starred in Quentin Tarantino's The Hateful Eight. He also starred in this, another dialogue-driven Western thriller. Albeit this Western, it's very different than Hateful Eight. And if you can believe it, it's much more brutal and gorier. Of course, this is Bone Tomahawk. This is a 2015 Western horror from writer-director S. Craig Zahler. Russell stars as a hard-line sheriff who assembles a motley crew of would-be rescuers and leads them into the outskirts of town in order to save a kidnapped female doctor from a mysterious tribe of savages. They are known as cave dwellers. The story unfolds as the film follows the sheriff, played by Russell, his old trusty deputy, played by Richard Jenkins, a gentleman gunslinger, played by Matthew Fox, he's from Lost, and the kidnapped woman's husband, Patrick Wilson, who was from Watchmen and the Conjuring films. And his character actually he's been mending a badly wounded leg. They ride into the Valley of Death. So that's basically the idea of the movie. So what's your thoughts, Rich? Because I think you particularly liked this film more than more than I did.
Okay, I liked it. Yeah,
yeah, that's what I thought. So give us your opinion on this.
It's a good Western. I like the Western part of it. And I don't really think it's a horror film.
No.
I think it's a slow burn, but it's a good slow burn. I like some of the writing in it. It was pretty good. And the acting is pretty well, too.
Yeah.
And okay. I like the cast. Richard Jenkins is another great performance by him also.
Yeah.
Kurt Russell and Patrick Wilson, surprisingly, he delivers a lot. And even Matthew Fox. I mean,
yeah,
it's good direction and good writing.
Okay. Raymond, I want to hear your opinion.
I loved it.
Really? Okay, that's interesting.
I loved this movie. I thought it was absolutely incredible. I loved the slow burn aspect of the film. I was really into the journey the whole time. I really liked the characters. I loved the performances from everyone, especially mm-hmm. Richard Jenkins.
Yeah.
I thought everyone in this was so good. I don't know, man. Like the I don't want. We were not in spoilers, right?
Yeah,
we're not in spoilers.
No. Not yet.
Like the when you get to this big, okay, I'll save it for later.
Yeah. Well, do you agree that it's a horror film also, or do you believe it's more Western?
Oh no, not at all. I think calling it a horror film is a spoiler, to be honest.
Well, Raymond, did you ever see the trailer?
No.
Oh, good, good, good.
Okay, so I hated this movie. I didn't like this movie at all. I mean, there's parts that I do like about it.
Well, you didn't last the slow burn. You don't like the slow burn aspect,
right? No, it's
not
that. It's not that. I don't know. I'll explain it later. But I do agree that this is not particularly a horror movie. It's brutal. It's gory in some parts. But it is mostly, it stays with the tropes of a Western film. It reminded me of like a... it's more like The Searchers,
yeah,
and or like Rio Bravo or something like that.
Or what's that movie? True Grit.
Yeah, I mean
it's a hunt.
It's a hunt.
It is a small group of people.
Yeah,
very small group.
I'll say this: I do like the acting in the film. And look, we should mention that S. Craig Zahler, he wrote and directed the movie. This is his first film. And he has done Cell Block.
He went on to do Brawl and Cell Block 99.
And also the Mel Gibson one.
Tractor Cross Concrete.
Yeah. Okay, so those movies have become these, and this movie too, has become these cult kind of celebrated films. So he has earned some kind of cult following.
Yeah,
credibility. But yeah, also he has some controversial, you know, there's some kind of ideas that he's, I take it that he's kind of this generation's John Millis. Where he's, and John,
I see.
You know, John Millis is this right wing Hollywood maverick who does this like a muscular man action movies, you know?
Oh.
And that kind of appealed to me. I like, oh, okay. I'm not right wing, but I do feel that we're missing some kind of muscular movies nowadays. And it does have this cool kind of muscular, you know, or I don't know, maybe muscular is not the right term, but it does have a male driven thriller aspect to it. I like that. The writing in here is very good. I think his vernacular of the time of the period is fantastic. The direction I have a big problem with. It's boring.
Boring.
It's boring. The issues of his direction is the same issues I have with Kevin Smith in a way. Kevin Smith is a good writer. I mean, arguably, but his writing, he doesn't help with, like Kevin Smith, his direction doesn't help his writing. So I think this would have been a much better if this was given to a visual director who could really punch up some of these scenes.
And so you're saying Kevin Smith should have directed this?
No, I'm saying no. The same issues. Like Kevin, he's a good wordsmith. This guy is a good wordsmith. I guess he's known for writing novels as well. You could tell that there are rich characters in this.
Well, do you blame his cinematographer also, because he's worked with all his movies also?
Well, I can't see. That's what I can't really tell, because I haven't seen any of his movies. This is the first time I've seen this movie.
Right.
And I don't want to really kind of critique him that much, because this is his first film, and you're going to have flaws as your first time directing.
And from what I heard, it was shot very quickly also. It was like 22 days or something like that.
But
wow.
22 days?
Yeah.
That's plenty of time, man.
Wow.
I do understand this is a low budget film, and maybe there are limitations. But again, I think he could have.
Yeah, budget was less than $2 million.
But the direction here is just so uneventful. Just not. It's just dull, and it really ruined the movie for me.
But that I was don't my know. Problem. I think it kind of, in a way, it kind of made you feel like you were along with these guys. It was very natural. No.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that, but there's. I mean,
you wanted something more cinematic,
or at least
more.
Well, I mean, like, I think maybe he was going for like a Robert Altman type of thing. Or
you hate Robert Altman?
Yeah, I don't like Robert Altman that much. I mean, I'm not a big fan of his work. Yeah, definitely the camera was it wasn't anyone's point of view. It was more like the audience point of view, or like the audience is like on for the ride. It's very like widescreen. I mean, you know, like basic setup, actors talk. It drags in points where it could have been spiced up if it would maybe insert a shot here, a shot there, you know, kind of just make it more exciting. But it feels like a PBS play, you know.
And, oh, man.
That's what I felt. And it really kind of detracted all the good stuff that was in the film, because it was a really solid screenplay. And I think...
Well...
Go ahead.
Okay, well, my high compliment for this movie actually kind of sounds a bit like a bit of a backhanded compliment. And it goes along with what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it really is like a high, high compliment. But for me, this watching this movie felt like playing Red Dead Redemption 2. But, you know, that's not like the most cinematic thing. And like, you know, it's more to feel natural, like you're there along with these guys. Yeah, I don't know. But
well, I think
Red Dead Redemption 2 is like, you know, one of the greatest games ever made, and I felt like this movie kind of made me, it was able to replicate that in a somewhat cinematic way, I think. And the writing really
yeah, I have no problems with the writing. I think this guy is actually a talented writer, and you could tell that he is a novelist, because the characters are rich and deep. And I love the relationship between Kurt Russell and Richard Jenkins.
Mm-hmm.
Richard Jenkins' performance is fantastic in this movie,
right?
And yeah. Matthew Fox, actually, and it's a shame that this is his last movie. I don't think he did anything after this. You know, he kind of quit Hollywood for a while, or currently quitting Hollywood. So I wish he comes back and do another thing. But again, I think because it's such a drawn out You know, again, this is like a 2-hour and 20-minute movie. I think you could cut like at least 20 minutes, and I don't think you have to cut any dialogue. It's just because it's just so slow. You know, they're moving slow. You know, so I don't know. Maybe that, you know, you're seeing that that effect would be better because it draws you in. It draw me out.
You would have lost all of David Arquette.
Let's talk a little bit about the opening scene, the late great Sid Haig.
Right. Oh yeah. Okay. Well, let's just go into spoiler section. So if you recommend it, Rich,
I do.
Raymond, you
but I do recommend that you go in knowing that it's going to be a little
it's a slow burn.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but
Raymond, you recommend it?
I do recommend it. And I also want to add, even though this is a slow burn, I think this is the type of slow burn that, you know, for people that are into slow burns, it's going to be a very entertaining one, because there are a lot of slow burn movies that you watch it and they really drag. I mean, I guess like it did for you, but to me, this was a very entertaining slow burn movie.
Yeah, and the payoff at the end is good. I mean, really good. I mean, so
yeah, and it's not like a quick payoff either. It's like a lot. It's a big sequence,
right?
I would say I wouldn't recommend it because I think it's so, I don't know. I think
it, you wouldn't recommend it. I mean, knowing that you could tell people that it's.
I appreciate that it's a great script. I think it was a missed opportunity. I think it could have been much better if it had a better visual eye. Again, if he'd done just a few things, like some insert shots, just, you know, maybe a couple of, just move the camera just a teensy bit, then I kind of would have recommended, but he didn't. It's just kind of static. It's like a Kevin Smith directing this movie, and Kevin Smith is not a great director, so I can't recommend it. But let's go into spoilers. At this point, spoilers.
But it was even less than a Kevin Smith movie.
I mean,
the budget, it was $18 million. I mean, $1.8 million.
Yeah, so I mean,
impressive.
Look, again, I maybe the critiques are because he is the first time. This is his first time. Maybe he got better. Maybe his other movies are much more visually appealing. But the reason I have a problem with it because the script was so good. I could see if another director got their hands on this script, they could have really punched this up, and it could have been a really much more entertaining film. Visually, but let's get into spoilers.
Or they could have made it worse. They could have made it like a Cowboys and Aliens.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, anyone could make
it. They could have made a Cowboys versus Cowboys.
It really depends on the director, but I mean, again, this is, you know.
So you'd rather see Eli Roth direct it?
No, well, look at that Ty West movie we saw with the West. What was that? What was that movie? It was Ethan Hawke with a dog and John.
I haven't even heard of this.
This is a John Travolta was the local sheriff, and Ethan Hawke. And it's like
In the Valley of Violence.
In the Valley of Violence, that's almost the same kind of bare bones set. Probably the same amount of budget, and that is a well-made, crafted film. But I'll give you this. That doesn't have the greatest script, but the direction made it better. And I think if Ty West would directed this movie, The Bone Tomahawk, I think it could have easily made the movie much better. But anyway, let's go into spoilers at this point. Let's, you know, if we want to talk more detail about certain scenes, let's do it right now. And this is just a warning for everyone. So we're going to deep dive. So go ahead, Raymond. You want to talk about something?
Yes, let's talk about the opening scene, the late, great Sid Haig.
Oh, yeah, Sid Haig. Yeah. You know what? He was very impressive because his performance in the film was right on for the period. He was talking in this kind of... Everyone was actually great, you know. I would disagree with Patrick Wilson's performance. I didn't buy it that much.
Ooh.
I don't not a fan of Patrick Wilson.
Well, not many people are, but this is a good one.
This is such a great role.
He's okay. It's fine. I don't. I think another actor would have brought like something like Ethan Hawke could have did something.
Oh, come on!
Or if you trade Matthew Fox for Patrick, and Patrick was the gunslinger. You know, the gentleman gunslinger. I think that could have worked too. You know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. He's fine. I mean, again, I'm not a big fan of Patrick Wilson.
What if it wasn't Patrick? What if it was Josh Lucas?
Josh. Oh yeah, sure.
Yeah. Really? Wow. Mm-hmm.
Who's Josh Lucas again? Wait, am I getting that right? He's the Yellowstone, right? From Kevin Costner. He played.
Yeah, young Kevin Costner. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you don't like. I like Josh Lucas. I think
he's a fine actor. Yeah. But I'm just saying he's about the same as Patrick Wilson.
No, I think Patrick's a little... I mean, look, sometimes... I don't know. I'm not a big fan. Also, the woman who plays his wife,
Lily Simmons.
She... I don't know.
Yeah, she was my least favorite performance, but she's barely in the movie.
That's
yeah.
true. That's true. But
she's another model-turned-actress. Kind
of. Well, she's... I think she's from Banshee. So, I mean...
Ray Donovan, yeah.
Ray Donovan. So, she's a TV actress, and there's nothing bad about that. I don't know. She's, I think it was more.
I'm surprised he was able to get all these actors for, like,
well, I could
such
tell
a small budget.
Well, the script, I could tell right away that the script was fantastic. I could tell that it comes out. I could feel the script, and that why it bummed me out that the visuals wasn't up to the script. You know, it didn't.
Well, bummed me out. It was Michael Paré didn't get a bigger role.
I know, man. And in the Cruisers, just out. I was, you know, again, like, I'll give you an example of what could have. Maybe I shouldn't. Who cares, really? Okay, like, here's an example. Okay, so the Michael Paré scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's a scene where Kurt Russell's rounding up the troops, and he, you know, they're saying the doctor's got kidnapped.
Deputy also, yeah.
Yeah, and they're trying to figure out what happened and what they're going to do next, and Michael Paré kind of come. They're in the saloon, and then Michael Paré comes in. He's like he owns the horses or something, and the horses.
I'm not sure. I don't remember that much.
Well, he was complaining about his horses.
Mm-hmm.
And he was disturbing the, you know, it's an intense scene where everyone's talking, and then Kurt Russell says to Michael Paré, "Shut up before I slap you until you turn red," or something like that.
You sure that wasn't the mayor?
No, that was Michael Paré.
Okay.
And I go, oh, so, and then everyone kind of stops for a moment, and then they go back to, you know. So that scene was almost shot in, like, all wide, you know, like a
right
establishing shot. Mm-hmm. And then if the director could have, like, bring in more tension to it and, like, put a little more insert shots here and then a little bit here. And then when Michael Paré comes in, like, put in, like, a two shot and then, like, half a beat, and then put an insert shot of Michael Paré and looking stunned with that, and then and have a moment where it breathes a little bit. Then it could have been an interesting scene, but no, it's all in one shot or, like, wide establishing shot, and it plays like a play, and it doesn't, you know, it doesn't feel cinematic. It doesn't deliver what the script. I'm just saying, it doesn't deliver what the script was.
So it needs more.
No, I mean, maybe that's just me. Maybe that's just that's how I feel. It could have been those little things like that could have really emphasized.
All right, so next time you could get Jason Mann in there to do it.
No, thank you. No, but it could like those little bits could be emphasized a lot more with a much more. And again, maybe this is because he is a first-time director, and maybe this was just maybe his other movies are much better visually.
No, I think he wanted it to look this way, and I'm pretty sure Brawl and Cell Block probably has a similar look. You feel like you're in this movie. You feel like you're in the ride with these guys. You feel like you're going on this journey with them to try to save these people and go into this, like, uncharted territory. And I'm pretty sure Brawl and Cell Block 99, whatever it's called, I'm pretty sure that movie also feels like you're probably in prison with the characters and stuff.
Maybe. I mean,
but I think the real question is the Mel Gibson movie, because that's more like a cop crime movie, right? So I don't know. I haven't seen that movie.
You didn't see Cell Block 2, right?
No, but I imagine it must have a similar feel and look. I feel like what I'm trying to say is I feel like it was intentional. I think he wanted it to
let it breathe,
look, like, that way.
Sure.
Yeah.
Maybe.
So you much rather prefer, like, this to have been directed by someone like Rick Romanois, the director of Shot Caller.
Wow. Sure. I mean, I don't know.
Hey, man, that mm-hmm. was a great movie, too. Yeah. And that was cheap.
Yeah, definitely. I mean,
you would have preferred, like, James Mangold.
Oh, well,
definitely. But I mean,
yeah, I'm just talking about who.
I mean, because it was such a good script. I mean, and in the let's talk about the reveal that they go up against cannibals, and that could have, you know, like,
oh man, when they split up that deputy.
Yeah, yeah, it was that could have really been done really cinematically if they.
Oh, I love that scene though. It was crazy.
Yeah,
disturbing.
Sure. It was disturbing, yes, but it was still kind of like blah direction. You know?
Well, you were out of the picture by then.
What are you talking about?
I mean, you pretty much made up your mind by then.
Yeah, so. But I'm still hoping for, like, some kind of, you know, thrilling visual.
By the time we got to there, and it's Patrick Wilson, you know, one killing them off one by one. I was like edge of my seat, so excited. Mm. Rooting for him. Mm-hmm. I didn't think he was going to make it, and yeah. Then, you know, awesome.
I knew he was going to come back to the, you know, yeah, it was, here I come to save the day.
I didn't think he was going to actually make it all the way to the end. Do you think Kurt Russell actually his character actually finished the last two off, or
yeah, three?
Oh, three?
Three shots. Is it three left or whatever? And then boom, boom, boom. Oh, that was boom, boom, and then a couple of seconds left. Boom.
But I think the guy was S. Craig. What's his last name again?
Zahler.
Zahler. I think he was trying to go for an old school kind of, like, maybe Howard Hawks.
Mm.
But Howard Hawks has Howard Hawks is not particularly known for his style, but he has he knows about framing. He knows about setting up the camera. John Carpenter was a big fan of Howard Hawks, and I would say,
yeah, I got you.
Carpenter is kind of similar, but
how about this, Mike? What if this was directed by Andrew Dominik, who did Assassination of Jesse James?
Yeah, definitely. But I mean, look, because I didn't see any of the director's other work. Maybe this is just because he was a first time director.
Yeah.
And this is
maybe he wanted it to look that way.
Again, maybe this is what he wanted. But I was so disappointed by the visuals, and it really threw me off the whole movie, and I couldn't.
Brother, play Red Dead Redemption 2, and you'll have a new appreciation for this movie.
All right, but tell me what you love about this movie, Raymond.
I like the pacing. I like the characters. I just like that you feel like you're with them on this journey. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it would have also been a great movie had they gone the more cinematic route. But having already seen this movie, I'm glad they made it the way they did. Because again, I really like feeling like you're along the journey with these guys.
Okay.
And like the end, like with Patrick Wilson killing them off one by one. I mean, that's exactly like Red Dead.
And what's your favorite parts, Rich?
It had a good feel to me. I mean, I like most rescues done right.
Yeah.
So I was enthralled by that.
Yeah.
So I'm in for the ride once it's a rescue established,
like the A team or something.
Yeah, or whatever. when it's, I'm rooting for the good guys, you know. Yeah. And I was intrigued by the
Trugolites?
Yeah, Trugolites. Mm-hmm.
That's a great invention, or I don't know if it's based on any.
Was it the thing in the throats?
Yeah, I have no idea. The whistleblower.
Yeah. Crap. Well, they put like humans' teeth or something into their throats to make them screech.
I don't think loudly. It's human. Yeah.
Is that human? You think it's like animals or something?
Something. Yeah.
Patrick Wilson said it was jewelry. So it must have been made of silver or something like that.
Oh, that's what, did he say that?
He thought it was jewelry originally.
I thought there was teeth. I thought I saw teeth in it. Or like
maybe. Yeah,
I
thought
it was bone or something. Like
yeah,
teeth and bones.
Definitely bones. But yeah.
Unless that's like based on some kind of folktale or something.
The pregnant women with the eyes.
Yeah, I loved all that part.
Eyes,
I mean,
stabbed out.
I loved all that stuff, and I think it was
that kind of reminded me of like the 13th Warrior and stuff like that. So I love that one too. And
yeah, it was. I understand. I get your points, but again, I think I like directors who are visual, and this is a director who's just more, I guess, more of a screenwriter. He's more written. He's more dialogue driven.
All right.
And I like the dialogue in this movie. I like the dialogue between each character. It was really well crafted, and it was very authentic. It felt authentic.
Well, I'm sorry, he wasn't Michael Bay.
I'm not looking for Michael Bay.
Well, that's, you want camera action?
No. I'm not looking for
Mike
that.
Mike only recommends this to Kevin Smith fans.
No, I mean, look, Kevin Smith is not the... I mean, we can all agree that Kevin Smith is not the great visual director, right?
Yeah.
Right?
I love his movies.
So you'd rather have John Woo?
No, I was just saying...
Move that camera, baby.
Well, if he was more kind of like a John Carpenter or something, or like maybe a, you know... Like John Millis, you know, Millis knows how to direct a stage movie.
This was his first direction.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe it was the budget limitations. Maybe maybe it was just because he was the first time director and he had to learn a couple of things, and he probably would have done something. I don't know. Who knows? This time, I can't recommend it. So let's go to gratings, or let's go to how we rate this. You want to start, Rich? I'll start because
you hate the film.
I don't hate.
Well, let's find out.
I give it a D plus. Is that hate? I can't recommend it. I just can't recommend it.
Oh man,
I can't recommend it. If I recommend it, this could easily be like a C or a C minus, but you know, like a solid C. I can't recommend it, so it's a D plus. I do love the acting in the film. I do love the dialogue in the film,
the cameos, man. Michael Perret, Sean Young.
That's why I hate it. It's how dare he only give Eddie the Cruisers a couple lines in this movie? How dare he? And Sean?
Hey, man, Young. He was about he was able to eat that week.
Because of the I dare you. He's a talented man. No. I mean, D plus. I mean, I can't recommend it.
Well, I can.
Yeah, go ahead. What's your grade?
I think this S. Greg Zahler is a true talent. Mm-hmm. Sure, it's his first film. I got to see his other films to see if he improved in direction, like you. But I mean, the guy even done some of the score.
I mean, yeah. I think he started as a heavy metal rock guy. And then he's also a novelist. You know, he is a man of many talents, and I too bad it wasn't directing. Isn't one of them.
Okay, so he could have easily been Fred Durst.
Right. I mean, Fred Durst maybe could have done a better job directing. Oh. Go ahead. No. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I'll just go to the grade. I'll give it a B plus if you're into slow burns.
All right, Raymond.
I really liked it a lot. I've been having trouble decide what score exactly. Because I actually do agree with Michael just a little bit on certain aspects in the beginning, not necessarily like once they're actually on the journey. I love the movie, but like before that, I did have, you know, a little some minor issues. I thought it could have been a little bit more entertaining had they done a bit more. So I'll go 8.5 out of 10.
Wow, that's pretty good. Yeah, like so, Mike, do you recommend In a Valley of Violence?
Yes, definitely.
Seraphim Falls,
definitely.
And what else would it be?
I haven't seen
Two Mules for Sister Sarah.
I haven't seen like some of the other like these wave of new Western films like Slow West or the Sister Brothers. I haven't seen those movies, so you know, I think you have you definitely have a variety or more options. If you're looking for like a Western, you got plenty of other Westerns too.
But I agree with you. This is basically The Searchers. I mean.
Yeah, this is Searchers with cannibals. I mean, hey, it's Dances with Wolves, but you replace the wolves with cannibals.
No.
All right. No, it's the Searchers with, you know, with horror elements to it. I'll agree with you that it's not necessarily a horror, but at the third, once it gets to the third act, it is definitely got some gore and horror into it. And would you recommend this for Halloween, though?
Yeah, that's what I was saying, though, earlier. I mean,
we picked this because we thought this was going to be more horror.
Yeah, I'd say
no.
It's not Cannibal Holocaust kind of.
No, it's not Cannibal Holocaust.
So yeah,
That scene, it was pretty gruesome though. But go ahead. It's a good. You say this is a good Western.
Yeah, it's better than Christmas Chronicles. I mean, Kurt Russell.
Yes, I give you that. It's better than Christmas Chronicles. Raymond, is this Western or is this a horror? Is this good for Halloween?
It's Western. Okay, it's 100% Western. So this it does have some horror elements, but that it's still a Western.
Yeah, at its core, it's still the Western. Yeah,
it's an R-rated Western.
Yeah. All right, so that was our review for Bone Tomahawk, one of the worst movies of the year.
No,
that was our review for Bone Tomahawk, and go to insideflix.com for more reviews, and we'll be back with another episode for another movie to review. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye.